Okay, good evening. So we've been discussing the past couple of weeks Hilchos Tzeda, and Hilchos Tzeda overlaps with the halachas of Netilas Neshama. There's the Mishnah at the beginning of Perek Shmona Shratzim in Shabbos. It says that the Shmona Shratzim, which are listed in the Torah, that in Parsha Shmini, the eight specific Shratzim with the din is that when they're dead, their dead body is metame, a person who comes in contact with it. So those eight shratzim also have a special characteristic that, well, first of all, if one traps them, one is chayev, but that's not so unique. If you trap them to use them for some purpose, you chayev. But also the Mishnah says, hachovel bohem, one who's chovel, one who wounds one of them, one who strikes one of them, would be chayev. The idea being that even if he doesn't draw blood, even if he strikes it, but he causes a form of internal bleeding, a bleeding underneath the skin, and it does not pierce the skin, so there's no blood emerges from this sheretz. Nevertheless, he's chayev for Chabalah, whereas by other shratzim, which are not on that list of the eight shratzim, there the din is that if you don't draw blood, you're not chayev. So let's first talk about what is the chiyuv, what is the chiyuv of chovel, what malacha is it, drawing blood. So it's really a three-way machlokas in the Rishonim as to what the malacha is. The most common shita is that it's a most widely held shita is that it's part of the malacha of shochet. The malacha of shochet is to kill a bal chai, but it includes drawing blood. It's called netilas neshama, because netilas neshama doesn't necessarily mean that a person takes the entire neshama from the bal chai and kills it, but that he draws a mixus neshama. If he removes the blood, some blood, so then that's considered removing a mixus neshama, and that's a chiyuv deraisa. That's a chiyuv deraisa, an issur deraisa. We'll have to talk about circumstances is considered malacha tzrich leguf and when it's not. We'll get to that, Hashem. But it's at least potentially, if in a case where it is a malacha tzrich leguf, it would be a chiyuv deraisa. So now, and what's unique about the Shmona Shratzim, unique that is to say in contrast to other Shratzim, is that the Shmona Shratzim are considered to have or. They have a type of a skin or hide which is thick enough that even if they're wounded and the blood doesn't come out, as long as there's blood that emerges under the skin, you can see this discoloration under the skin because of internal bleeding, that's already considered a real chabura, a real wound was inflicted upon them, and the fact that the blood didn't come out is because their aur is thick enough to contain it, and even though the aur wasn't pierced, so because the air wasn't pierced enough, you know, to allow anything out, that's because it's a thick hide. And but the damage was done underneath. There was a chabura underneath. As in contrast to other shratzim, where they don't have, it's called, they don't have or, whatever skin they have is not the same thickness, not the same level. And there, if there's no blood emerging, then it's a simen that there was no real chabura made. Because any time there would be a real chabura made, enough of a chabura to be considered netilas neshama on these things, the dam would for sure come out. Now, it's not only Shmona Shratzim. I mean, it's true about regular animals, or I should say regular, about animals, about behemoths and chayos, or about a human being. That of course they also have or, and there would be an iser chabura, an iser making a chabura, an iser chabala, even if a wound was inflicted without blood actually emerging through the skin. Okay, so the first shita, again, the first shita that is of chovel is that chovel's chayev because of netilas neshama, under the malacha of shochei. The Rambam shita is that drawing blood is chayev because of mefarik. Mefarik is a tolda of the melacha of dash. The melacha of dash is removing the edible part of a grain from amongst the chaff and the straw and the hay, the straw and part that surrounds it, getting out the kernel from squeezing out the kernel, in a sense, is considered that's dash. And dash has a total called mefarik. Mefarik includes various forms of extracting liquids from solids. For example, if you squeeze zeisim or anavim, squeeze grapes or olives for their juice, that's called mefarik. Mefarik is to break something apart, right? A perik. A perik in the Chumash says a perik is a section, a piece, like one like not broken part, but one piece. So the farik is to break something into pieces. So the melacha mefarik is when you break out the liquid, typically, or it's liquid from solid. It doesn't have to. It's not always liquid, but that's certainly one of the main cases of mefarik is when you squeeze out the liquids from the solids. So according to the Rambam, extracting blood is that malacha. It's the malacha mefarik. You mefarik the liquid blood from the bal chai, the human or the animal, and that's the sheet of the Rambam. Another example of mefarik is when is extracting milk from a female, whether it's a human being or an animal, a female animal, a cow. If milking a cow on Shabbos is usher because of this same malacha. So the Rambam holds that's the isser by extracting dam. So it comes out according to the Rambam, it'd only be chai of chatos if you were actually motzi a full grogeris worth of dam. There has to be a shear, because for mefarik, there's a shear. There has to be after mefarik a grogeris worth of whatever the liquid is.
You have to need a dam?
So you do. That's it. Well, if for to be machshir tzrich legufi, you would. Yeah. We can talk about that.
They have
dam.
Oh,
in the shratzim. I guess they must, because it says a chov behem chayev. I mean, the shmona shratzim, they include some of them are not so small. Some of them are. You're right. But it says all eight of them. Though, but it's a good point. I guess they must have. Okay. The third mahalach in Rishonim is that drawing blood is an isser of tzoveya, because it colors the tzoveya means coloring. It colors the skin, again sometimes internally or externally. That's the third mahalach in Rishonim. But the most widely accepted pshat is the first one, that drawing blood is a malacha, is part of the malacha of shochet and tils teshama. Now. Okay, so in order to be chayev, as we just mentioned, the sheet that we pass, like, which is Rabbi Shimon, there's a machlokas we've mentioned before, it comes up all over Shabbos, machlokas Rabbi Shimon and Rabbi Yehuda, about a malacha shein etzricha legufa. When you do a malacha for a constructive purpose, but not for the purpose, not the way it was done in the Mishkan, you do it for some other toelis. Like, for example, the case that's one of the classical cases is the malach of kibuy, of extinguishing, where in the Mishkan, when they extinguished a fire or a flame, it was in order to create either to create a coal, have a burning coal, or something of it was some of that sort. It wasn't to get rid of the fire. So anytime you put out a fire, just because you don't want it burning, you don't want it to destroy, that's malach she'ein etzricha legufo. Or if you turn out an electric light, even an electric light which is considered Eish min HaTorah, let's say an incandescent light bulb with a filament that's considered Havara, it's considered making, if you light that on Shabbos, you ignite that on Shabbos, you turn it on, it's considered Eish min HaTorah, it's considered Havara min HaTorah. But turning it off, although it may be kibui, but if you're only turning it off because you don't want the light, you want it to be dark in the room, not light in the room, or you want to save the money, you don't want to waste the electricity or the bulb, so that's called malach shein tzricha legufa, because you're not doing it to, you're not turning it off so that it now makes you, so you're left with some sort of a product that was created from being lit and then extinguished. Rather, you just turn it off because you don't want it, you don't want it burning. That's called malach shein tzricha legufa. So here too, by these cases, if you're extracting the dam for some sort of positive reason for let's listen first to the Rambam. I guess it's easiest to go into the Rambam. According to the Rambam, the Rambam himself happens to hold Malacha Shein Tzrich Ligov Ischayev. What I mean is the Shita, the Rambam Shita in Mefarik, in Chovel, the Rambam Shita in making a chabur, making a wound, and extracting blood, that is Asar Alst Mefarik, in order to be Tzrich Ligufa, would have to be that you need the blood for something. You need to use it for something. Now, you know, there could be different uses for it, and we'll get to that, where that might be in Okeah. But not only according to the Rambam, but even if you hold that it's Netilas Neshama, it also has to be that you're doing it for some constructive reason. Besides, it shouldn't be mekalkel, but it should be tzricha legufa. So the Mishnah Berurah in this is all in Shin Tezayim. Mishnah Berurah in Sifka and Lamed says like this: V'im asa chabala ba'adam derech nekama. Let's say a person he wounded somebody because he wanted to get back at him for something. He intentionally wounded him, beat him for whatever reason. Derech nekama. Or be behema chayiv of shel chaveru ba'ofen ze, v'yotza hadam, o nitzrar, the dam either came out or the dam collected under the skin. There was internal bleeding. Das harambam shechayiv ze b'chol gavni, ki inenu b'chol mekalkel. And says the Rambam, why is it not mekalkel? V'hatam ibnei shemiyashiv is daito b'dover ze. The Rambam says it's considered a constructive thing that you did it to in order to calm yourself down, in order to the person was disturbed, was all upset that somebody wronged him in some way, and he hit him in order to get back of him. The Rambam says that's considered a tikkun for your nuach yitzro. He quiets his yitzahara this way. For hoel v'chamas or shuchechas b'dav zeh harayu k'mesaking v'chayiv. Okay, now. This is actually talking about Legabi Kilkel or Tikkun, but this is what the Rambam says. The Ravid very strongly is cholik right on this Rambam and says that whoever heard of such a thing, that a person hits somebody else because he's upset, he's angry, and by doing this he feels better. That's and he angers a Kaddish Baruch Hu by taking the cup and by hurting the person. That's called a tikkun. How could that possibly be called a tikkun? The fact that you appeased your Yetzirah, you pacified your Yetzirah, that's called a tikkun. Ein lecha kilkul golem is the Rambam. So Ravid strongly is cholik with this Rambam, but that's okay. But that's in the realm of tikkun or kilkel. If you look, I really read a little bit earlier in the Mishnah Berurah, he says like this: V'chol ze mayri kishitzorich ledam hachabala. Where is it that you're chai when you need the blood? Lekalbo, you want to feed it to your dog, or leize inyan, or you need the blood for some other reason. O lebasar shenitzur bo hadam, or if it was you killed an animal, or shechted an animal for that, and you want the blood to be reddened by, you want the basar out of the flesh, the meat to be reddened by the blood, because it gives the animal who's going to eat it, you're feeding it to your dog, gives him a bigger geschmack in it. So that's also necessary to be chayev. Okay, now, a little later, the Mishpura says this: Vimhu makiz dam la'adam l'refuah. Let's say a person lets blood; he does bloodletting for a human being l'refuah kishein bo sakana. Talking about this, not sakanas nefashos. If sakanas nefashos, and he needs to let blood to save his life, then right, then of course Dochah Shabbos, and he wouldn't be chayiv. You're allowed to do that. He's saving a life through Hakaz's Nam is necessary to save the life. Of course, you're allowed to do that. But if you're doing where it's Embo Sekhani, even if the person was a Chola, let's say, and this is, and therefore by being Makaz the Nam, it is beneficial for the person, but he wasn't going to die, he wasn't in danger. Or Obe Behema, or if he did it to an animal, even if the Behema was in danger, and it was life saving for the animal, but the saving the life of an animal is not Dochah Shabbos. It might be, you know, during the week, it might be a fine thing to do. But you can't be Dochah Shabbos, keeping Bechal Shabbos to Well, yeah, I mean, even derabanan, you can't do a malacha derabanan. Even they can, maybe amir lakum, you could do, but you can't do it be a daim a malacha derabanan to save the life of an animal. But if he did, so Mamela, if he did it even by an animal, even if it was for hatsala of the animal, chayiv lekuli alma, says the Mishnah Berurah, duhu bechal mesake. First of all, it's a tikkun, it's something, it's a positive, result. Begam hu malacha tzricha legufa. That's called the malacha tzricha legufa, because you needed to do it in order to, you needed to make this chabura, to make this chabala. This is according to the shita that the Isra results in Tilas Neshama. So you would know tell the Neshama for the purpose of being merape, for the purpose of saving the life of the animal or healing the human being. So that's considered you did it for a malacha tzricha legufa, and you'd be chayiv. You're not allowed to do that on Shabbos unless the human, you know, the person's life is a danger. Otherwise, you're not allowed to do that on Shabbos. So he says, 1 second. Yeah. Okay. So that's one example. Now the post can talk about other examples. Let's say a person needs to has a blood test on Shabbos. They draw blood in order to do a blood test to check for whatever it is. So again, if clearly the person, it's a situation of sakana, there's an emergency situation, they need to check to see immediately how to deal with the how to, you know, help the person to see what machla might be there, infection or whatever it is, and how they have to deal with it. And it's a shayla of a sakana or safek sakana. Okay, then you're allowed to do it. But let's say it's not a safek sakana, but they want it, like many times a person goes for a doctor's appointment, whatever, they draw blood because they want to, you know, test for certain things that they not there's no sakana that they're aware of, and no chash, no reason to believe the person's a sakana, but they need to do some routine checks, or even if it's not routine, even if, you know, there's something wrong and they want to run some blood work to check what's going on, but there's no sakana, there's nothing, certainly they're not aware of it, and again, no reason to suspect that there's any imminent danger to the person, then to do that would be chil Shabbos deraisa, because there they mamish need the blood, right? They're drawing the blood because they need the blood. They don't need it to feed it to the dog or to whatever, but they need it to test it. They need to use the blood to test it, so that's considered chil Shabbos deraisa. Now, if a person is diabetic and they need to check their blood sugar over Shabbos, sometimes more than once over Shabbos, so that typically, when they're doing that, because that is considered a matzav of sakana. Most diabetics that are checking the blood sugar need to do it to make sure that things are in check. There's at least a suffix sakana to make sure things are checked, to know whether they need to take insulin or they need to, or whatever it is, what they need to do. So that's mutter to do, because that's considered pikuach nefesh, or a suffix, at least suffix sakana l'tzdocha Shabbos. Even so, if it would be shaykh, a day ago, it would be preferred, but it's usually not, you know, often not shaykh. But if it's possible to do with a shinui, if they could do, you know, if they could prick their finger with a shinui to get out the drop of blood, then they should do that. And then in terms of the testing also, I mean, this whole field, of course, is changing with technology and exactly how they go about testing it and stuff. And a lot of the testing now is, there's a lot more malacha, actually, because, you know, they're using digital devices to test and everything. But whatever it is, they certainly try to do it with the mimayit as much as possible and use a shini for whatever is possible. But they're allowed to do it some, because sakana, if it's not sakana or chash sakana, and now the person, well, you know, was to check the blood sugar for, you know, Yisron Hechsher, but they're not a diabetic or whatever it is, they have no need to do it, then that would be Imam Shinesa Deraisa, because that's, Malcha Tzricha Legufa, actually using the dam. What's a Shaila, much bigger Shaila Poskin, is what about, let's say they want to insert an IV. And now again, persons, we're not talking about a chalash yesh bo sakana, person who's ain bo sakana, but they want to insert connect an IV for whatever, to give the person's fluids or medication, whatever, when it's not a sakana. So there, what's the shayla? The shayla is that when they do that, they always draw a little blood to know that they got the right spot, that they got it into a vein, and it's going to go in properly. So the question is that the drawing of blood, is that called tzricha legufa? Or in a tzricha l'gufa, meaning they want to see the blood, they want to get this drop of blood out, But why? But they don't need the blood. They're not checking. They're not testing the blood or checking the blood. The blood just is a simon that that they hit the right. You know, they got it in the right spot. So that's the machlokas poskim. So Rabbi Cheskel Abramsky is quoted in the Svarim. Rabbi Cheskel is one of the gedolim from Europe in the Tzkufa before World War II and after all. You know, that time he spent many years in Siberia. I don't know if it's many years. He definitely spent some time in Siberia. That's yeah, for sure. And he eventually moved on to when he was freed. And so he moved to England, and he was a rabbi and dying there, and eventually to Israel to buy it again. He was nifter in like 1976. Not like he was nifter in 1976. I happened to know because I was there. I was in Shiva when he was nifter. And anyway, so he is quoted on this particular issue as saying that that's called Malachat Tzricha Legufa. And others quote the Chazon Ish as well, saying that's called the Malachat Tzricha Legufa, because you need the blood. You know, even though you're not using the blood, but I need to see the blood. On the other hand, there are poskim that the Tanya not like that. That there are poskim that Rav Shlomo Zalman Auerbach seem to be wavering on this issue. At one point, he's quoted in the Tshuva from the Tzitz Eliezer as saying that it was pushed to him at that point that it's not Tzricha Legufa. Okay, you don't. What's that?
What's in that community? You're
going to
draw more blood right after that.
No, not with IV. No, he's not drawing blood. IV. Oh, just from the IV. They're just inserting the IV. And
no more blood's coming.
No more blood, right. They just want to put liquids in.
Well, it sounds like it's needed. Like, without that blood, you don't know if you're reaching the right spot.
Right, okay. So, okay, but that's just showing you, I don't need the blood. But the blood is, as he says, an indication. The blood is my proof that I did the right thing, but I'm not using the blood. I want the blood to come out, but you could argue I want the blood to come out just to let me know that I've done the right thing. I don't. I'm not. It's not for the blood.
It's some type of semen.
I'm not putting that. I'm not pricking for. I'm not trying. Right. I'm not doing for the blood.
I get the logic, but the blood is a semen, so you are doing it for the blood. Like no blood. No, yeah.
You could argue that. But the truth is that in. I saw the Lashon. The Lashon of Shlomo Zalman in the Tzitz Eliezer, when he wrote it, he said, his Lashon was, I said, I don't even understand the Shaila. Like, he's like, well, why in the world would you call that Tzricha Legufa? That was Ad Kedei Kach. I think I saw the Lashon quoted in here. Mi b'shashu v'tzitz Eliezer, yeah, pikpik v'zeh, etc. He said, "V'chein kasev agorim Shlomo Zalman Auerbach nitfas betzitz Eliezer sham." Eliezer, this one he's quoting is in Chelik Ches, and his quote: "Lo yadaiti, my time of mistapi b'darver. I don't even know why you have a shail about this. Hare ain't tzorich es adam, ela kedei ladash sheitzliach liftorach es avrid. You don't need the blood. You just except to show you that you entered the vein." Why would you call it Tzricha Legufa? You don't need blood. The blood proves to you that you did the right thing. We don't need blood. It's just.
You're saying you need a simon, but not specifically that.
But I don't want the blood. By seeing the blood, I know that I did the right thing. But I don't want blood. I'm not.
I'd rather leave the blood in. I just have to know.
Right.
But then he
turned around a little bit, and he brought some rayas that maybe it's not like that. So he was mistaken. He was mafalpa a lot. He did different cases in Shas. So if it's a domain to this case, to that case. So he brings also the Nishmas Avram, and this Simon brings that he really went back and forth on this issue whether it's considered Tzricha Legufa or not. Where I saw someone quoted. Chaim Pinchas Scheinberg saying that he held it's not. He held like the tzad that it's not like Rav Shlomo Zalman's original tzad. Yeah, where I saw that in one of the Svarim.
Not
Tzricha Legufa, because you're not using the blood for anything. Okay. Anyway, so that, and the Tzitzel himself held that for sure. That it's not Tzricha Legufa. Okay. So the shad on the poskim whether that particular case is considered Tzricha Legufa. But that again, that's only the case where, let's say, the IV. Now, in general, when it comes to an injection on Shabbos, so the poskim are mechalik between injections that go into the vein and those that don't, these that just go into muscle. And meaning, if an injection, if it's going into muscle and it's not a psychoratia, that it's going to draw blood, it won't necessarily draw blood, then even if it sometimes does, even if it often does, but it's not not always or not like nearly always, that's called not a psychoratia. So it's a davar she'einu miskaven, you're not mechaven to draw the blood. So even if blood came out, that would be that would actually be mutter, right? It's not just, see, till now we're talking by the case of the IV where it's for sure going to draw the blood, right? It's for sure going to pill. The only question is that called tzricha legufan? Is that called I want the blood because the blood gives me the assurance I need that I did the right thing? Or it's not called I want the blood because I don't need to use the blood? But it's definitely an isser, at least an isser the rabbanan, right? I definitely was mechavin to remove the blood, and it's not, even if it's mekalka, but it's definitely, I was mechavin to draw the blood, so it's an isser the rabbanan, at least it's the rabbanan. And therefore, you'd still only, have to have a heter to do with your bun. If you're putting an IV, the person's probably in a matzah where you're allowed to be over, at least in the Nisadurabun. But the point I'm making is that's at least in the Nisadurabun, whereas an injection, if it's not drawing blood, if it's not a psychoratia, then it's mamish mutter. There's no malacha whatsoever.
Maybe
so I say, that's what I was going to say. Mitzad malacha, there'd be no iser, right? Because you're not doing, it's a davar she'einu miskaven. You're not trying to draw blood in that case. So then, even if blood comes out, b'mikra, sometimes it would be mutter, not putter. That'd be mutter. Now, it's being mentioned. Well, okay. On the other, if you're administering an injection, obviously that's some form of refuah. So it would have to be that the person is in a matzav where they're allowed to have refuah. Right? It has to be some madrega of chola that you're allowed to. Zero four. So the Poskim talk about different cases. Lamashal, some women who are undergoing fertility treatments will get injections, and very often it has to be over Shabbos as well. So most say that that's okay. That those injections they're not into a vein. They at least typically, and therefore they don't necessarily draw blood. It's not psychoratia, and they consider that to be. Or at least it's a shy on the poskim, but they some gedolei of poskim consider that to be a permissible form of refuah because it's like considered a chal kol guf or whatever it is exactly that it's a permissible form of refuah on Shabbos for that purpose. Well, there are other purposes why sometimes a person will need an injection or will benefit from an injection, but so then it has to meet the, besides being not a malacha, it has to meet the criteria that it's some form, whatever the form of choli is that warrants refuah on Shabbos. But that, yeah.
So and all these shots are for the person to do it to themselves?
Either way.
A guy?
If it's four,
and to have a guy do it.
Oh yeah, okay. So to have a guy do it. Well, the other case so far. Leave out the injection for a second because so far we only spoke about injection where there's no malacha involved. So, and if it's refuah, it's not going to help to have a guy do it, right? If the person's not allowed to have refuah, then they can't have a guy give them the refuah either. But the other cases where, let's say, an IV for a person, it's not sakana, but they would benefit from some form of IV, even if you hold it's a deraisa, but to have a guy do it would be mutter, right? If the person is a chola, then for sure it would be mutter to have a guy do it. Or the blood test also. Let's say the person there's some sort of choli and they would like to draw blood to test. Definitely not going to die if they don't do it. They're definitely, but the doctor, the person is being seen by a doctor on Shabbos, they're really not feeling well. The doctor says, well, it makes a lot of sense for us to run a blood test to check for XYZ. So as long as a guy does it, that would be okay. Because the person is a chola and yeah. The only shaila is that the drawing the blood might be the raisa, but the akum, it's for sure. Okay, but getting back to the shot, so the other type of a shot is when it goes directly into a vein where it will definitely draw blood. So, again, it gets into the shaila of is that considered tzricha legufa? And is that considered a tikkun or a kilkul in drawing the blood? So most of the poskim say that those shots are not okay, unless it's a makom sakana again. Makom sakana, of course. But to administer an injection when it's into a vein, unless if it's not a chalas shesh bo sakana, most poskim say it is not okay to do that.
Is there the same shot when the blood's coming out? Or the blood's... And same shot the Rav was saying with Moshe.
The Gavish Shul Guf, yeah, yeah, right.
It depends what you hold. Moshe Shul Guf has enough Drabanan to. If it was Drabanan, it would be okay for.
Yes.
Chayel Hashem Besakana.
Yes. I see here, this is why I mentioned Rav Schomburg. I have it in my notes here from the Taras HaYoledis in Perek Lamedalad brings this, he has a ha'aref here on the safe from Rav Schomburg saying, Kiva de enotzerech ledama l'simen ba'alma mikri enotzerech legufa. Chayin kas v'shal s'chubas ar l'tzion. Okay. So really, I mean, pretty much it's the same shali we mentioned by the IV. In the case where they're drawing the blood for through the purpose of the injection, that's all, it's also the really the same studim as we said by the case of the IV, of whether it's considered the raisa or the rabbanu. Okay, so kaponim, getting back to. So we said that so drawing the blood is definitely a melacha d'oraisa, and the question is only is it a tikkun or a kilkul, or is it tzrich legufa, not tzrich legufa? Now, so there are other situations. There are situations in Shabbos where blood theoretically it could be drawn, where a person, let's say a person has lives in a cold climate. And during the winter, it's very common that one's hands, the skin on the hands get very dry from the cold, and they start to crack. It's very very common. People live in up north. People who were born here and lived here all their life don't know what I'm talking about. But if you come from the north, you know, you probably know exactly what I'm talking about. Many people have it, suffer from it very, very much for months during the winter, and they're constantly applying, not on Shabbos, but during the week, applying creams and stuff, rubbing creams into the hands and stuff like that. But the question: let's say a person has this type of condition, and when he washes his hands and he dries his hands, it's always bleeding. There's always you know, blood coming out of his hands. So the question is, what he's doing on Shabbos? Does he have? I mean, it's kind of hard to say not to wash his hands all Shabbos, but not to dry his hands all Shabbos. Maybe drying them, he can do it very gently, pat them, or even just, you know, shake them dry or something like that. But sometimes just by washing them or just mishafshif them. So, one of the sfarim that mentions this particular case is the Sefer Hilchos Shabbos B'Shabbos. Yes. So he writes there, this is in Chelek Gimel, Perek Aleph Sifchav Gimel. He says, it's mutter litel yad b'Shabbos l'tzarech mitzvah, even under these circumstances. He says, because it's, first of all, he says it's not a psik resha, that might depend. If it's mamish not a psik resha, then it's totally, it should be totally mutter. If you can comfortably say it is not a psik resha, doesn't, then it should be a shaila. Shaila probably more is when it's very close. Yeah, very close to being a psik resha, or very close to be vadi, so it's a psik resha. But even so, it's a psik resha on nichale, and it's mekalkel, and maybe it's even, it causes the person tsar, it's, you know, it's mamish, clearly something he's not trying to do, doesn't want to do, etc. And then he says another svara, and he says he says that he heard this all from Abel Yashiv as well. He says another svara that the Gemara in Ksubas, in the first parak of Ksubas, when it talks about Hotzah's dam and Shabbos, the Gemara is mechalik between dam which is chibure michbar and dam which is mifkad pakid. Chibure michbar means dam which is, it's in the veins, it's still part, totally part of the system, and to get it out requires a chibura. That's the Isser on Shabbos. But there's other dam which is Mifkat Pukin. Sometimes the dam is already not in the veins. It's already like collected in somewhere where extracting it is not, you're not getting out of the vein. Like this case, if you have cuts in your hands and they've been bleeding already for a couple of days, bleeding on and off, so the blood that comes out, he says, is considered mifkat pocket. That blood is not, that blood's coming out is no longer, it's not in, you're not extracting it from the vein. It's already out, it's sitting there, and you're just like you're opening it and pouring it out. So that's b'chal, not the malacha. The Gemara says the malacha is only when it's from the word lashon chabura, that's making a chabura. So he says that would be the case with these things also, and therefore it would not be asir to do that. I was listening to somebody who was once discussing with me about a bal tokeo on Rosh Hashanah, blows shofar, and after he blows a number of times, his lips start to crack, and starts to bleed when he blows shofar. It bleeds. And the question was discussing whether is that going to be right. Rosh Hashanah it's not Shabbos when he's blowing shofar at least, but it's Yontif, and these halachas apply in Yontif as well as on Shabbos. So, although the truth is, right, if it's al shochet, that's what you're saying, if it's al shochet, so shochet is mutter l'tzarech, like we discussed the previous, I think last week, right? We discussed about killing the bees, if that's on Yontif. That some Gedolia poskim say that it's mutter for tzarech anyantif because shochet's mutter. So the question is here: is this considered maybe considered a tzarech? I mean, if there's no way to blow shofar without the blood coming out, so he's being motzi the dam in order to be motzi the kol from the shofar. So maybe that would take a bit heter. But that's only you know, the case of the bees. Clearly, it's a shochet. Here, the Rambam says it's not shochet; it's mefarik. I said, it's a shodash, and that's not mutter yantiv any more than it is on Shabbos. So, what is that?
Stick with the other svar of segresh leinich lebemakom mitzvah.
Right, so that's what you have to say. That it's clearly not lenichale. He doesn't want it at all, and so it's mistum. It's considered kalachiyat also, right? It's not the normal way. When you motzi blood, you don't put a piece of a ram's horn in your mouth and go like this so you can get blood out. There are other ways. I never went through a blood test and the doctor said, sure, take a shofar. Although they used to use horns for blood letting, I think. But okay, so it's kalachiyat, and it's mistum mekalkel, and it's segresh lenichale by two derabbanans, which we've spoken about here on Shabbos morning. We spoke about that maybe over here. Two derabbanans, even though we're not always matter that, but it's a mitzvah mistum, especially if he's the person who's supposed to be blowing for the tzibur. There might be somebody else who's capable, but the person who's blowing is mistum the most suited for the job, and he has the schus to do the job. So, or if he's blowing in his home for to promote his wife or some other people, it's a significant sarach. So lechara, that would be mutter. All these svaras would be sufficient to be matter to do that as well. Might have to be careful though, seriously, that the blood doesn't get in and interfere, get into the shofar. And they actually talk about that. There's a discussion if there's a bris mila on Rosh Hashanah. You ever been at bris mila on Rosh Hashanah? Yeah, sometimes, obviously, it's going to happen sometimes. Probably places like Yerushalayim and Lakewood, it probably happens every single year, more than once. There's a bris mila on Shabbos. And so by a bris mila, the mohel does mitzitza, which is part of the chi of the mila. Is after removing the arla, he has to suck out, he has to draw out the blood that's there. It's part. That's an example of, it's a malacha d'oraisa be'etzim, but it's mutter to do it because it's sakana. The Gemara says a mohel that doesn't do mitzitza, doesn't suck out the blood, is fired. Because it's a sakana, the Gemara says. And even nowadays, when they say, it's not necessarily sakana, sakana is because of infection, and there are other ways to treat it, or whatever it is. Lamai said, still mutter, still mutter to do it, mutter and a mitzvah to do it. So there's a discussion, so some posts can say that if there's a mila on Rosh Hashanah, so if the mohel could be the Baal Tokei as well, if he's able to blow shofar, so he should do the mila first, and he shouldn't rinse out his mouth even, and then blow shofar with the blood still in his mouth, because it'll be an eretz chus, like mixing the schus hamila together with the schus of tkei shofar. That's what's brought. And But some, I know there's a question that whether you might have a problem there. I guess it might be the dam might interfere. It might be a chatzitzu, or it might be mishan of the kol if it gets into the shofar. There's a discussion about that. I don't look it up now, but I know that there's those two tzadim there by this. So maybe here too, this person probably has to be careful. He doesn't get too much blood into the shofar. But putting that aside, it wouldn't be a problem. Another case they talk about is people that some people, when they eat hard fruit, if they could bite into an apple, their gums bleed, mm-hmm. and they get some blood on the apple. Okay, that you've experienced, huh? Okay. Some people have when they brush their teeth. Especially if they don't brush them often enough, and so then, or if they floss and they don't floss very often, so it, you know, the gums bleed. So that's also shallow. Are you allowed to do that on Shabbos? If you know if it's a psikere, again, if it's not a psikere, once in a while it happens, or even if it happens often, but not nearly always. So long as it's not always or nearly always, it's not a psikere. So then it would be mutter. By the way, it's a separate shallow when you're eating an apple, for example, and get blood in it, so you have to be careful not to put that blood back into your mouth, right? If you're eating and you get blood in your mouth, as long as the blood stays in your mouth, you're allowed to swallow it. You know, that blood is mutter to swallow. But once it comes out, you can't put it back. So if you have blood on the apple, you'd have to remove it.
And if it always happens, it's usher?
So if it always happens, is it usher? So Nara Post can say that, yeah, it should be, at least should be machber. That's not such a big tzarech mitzvah, and
because again, it's a segregation of nichalim.
You have most of the same svaras, but lamais it's
missing
not.
The tzarech.
What's it?
Kind of missing the tzarech.
Exactly, and especially because even if you say, well, on Shabbos, I enjoy apples so much, but see, if you cut it into slices and eat it that way, it's not going to happen, right? It's only going to happen if you bite into the big whole big apple. So there are a number of us can speak out that one that should be avoided. So there's if you think about it in the course of your day, sometimes you might have other cases where this something like this happens, and you have to down each case based on these sources to see whether there would be permissibility to do it or not. So I get to pause here. Thank you very much.